churches on Saturday.
Are they?
Yes.
I don't know, those guys, well, you saw it, they did fire three. You know, they're carrying a great reputation. They haven't even got their flying wings yet.
I know.
Pretty cool. We got any stragglers on?
I don't think so.
Nope. Okay, according to the agenda, published agenda, we are to morph into short presentations from EMS Chief Carl Squinty and Superintendent, I know.
I don't know.
My hearing aids ran out of battery.
It's okay.
And San Juan County PhD Superintendent Pam Hutchins. So we'll start with you, Carl, please.
All right. Well, I thank you all for coming. I see my job just to kind of let you know about what EMS does. Obviously, EMS is dealing with house calls. We're taking care of patients, and we are, the County Hospital Board is our oversight committee. They collect the levy money that we use for operations, and they provide oversight for us. They approve our policies and procedures. They take a look at our expenditures and our income and make sure everything is jiving, and offer suggestions for how they can improve our service. Just a little bit about the building itself. This is a relatively new building for us. We took occupancy in November of 2012 and kind of moved over here from the old station was on Spring Street. I think most of you are probably familiar with that. It's now the Island Museum of Art. And the nice thing about this facility is it gave us a lot more space to work. The office, the administrative offices in the old space were awfully small. I think we had 5 people in a room smaller than the kitchen area. That was made it very difficult. Now we have 2 big, nice offices that we can take care of the administration things, and this nice big classroom where we convene with these meetings. We have trainings for our EMTs. We teach the lay public CPR, first aid, wilderness first aid classes. So this is kind of our public interface here. We can house our 2 ambulances and have room for a 3rd outside. Our 4th ambulance lives all at the north end of the island in fire station number 35. The fire department has graciously let us have some space to keep that ambulance undercover, and that helps us get a quicker response for our volunteers to get a rig to the north end of the island, not having to come all the way from town. So that kind of explains a little bit about our facilities and, of course, what we do. We've kind of changed our model. We have 4 full-time paramedics who generally respond in a sprint rig, and I think you've seen those on the streets. They're a Ford Escape, the plan being that they are not necessarily housed in station, but they are on for a 24-hour shift, and if they're on call and a page goes out, they take off in that sprint rig, try to get to that patient as quickly as possible to help stabilize, and then the ambulance responds as well. So if that patient needs transport. So that's kind of what we do. We changed our modeling a little bit from having paid staff who basically do administrative to including operations into that paid staff. And we have 4 full-time EMTs now. Ian Randall's our one on call right now. He's there in the back. And those EMTs will be here for a 48-hour shift, and then they hand it off to the next one down the line. That way we have 24/7 coverage. So we have at least 1 EMT in the station and can respond as quickly as possible. That's the whole idea, is to get our response times down and get to the patients that need us. The other thing that I think maybe some of you might have questions about, and I'd be happy toward the end of this to answer it best I can, but we're exploring integrating fire and EMS, putting them back together. They had started out that way way back when.
Early 90s.
Yeah, in the early 90s. They split due to some differences of opinion in terms of budgeting and how things were spent. And we've been working independently for quite some time and realized, maybe we ought to look at putting these two entities back together. There was a committee formed, a citizens advisory committee. They finished up their report just last
second of
April is when that was presented. And now we have a situation where we've taken that work that they've done, looked at it, and have put together a steering committee, which is comprised of myself, Chief Collins, who's the fire chief, he's there in the back, a representative from our hospital commission, which is Commissioner Smith. Pardon me, that's my phone. I apologize. A representative from the fire commissioners, which is Frank Cardinelli, and a representative from town, Duncan Wilson. And the five of us have started meeting. We had our first meeting a week and a half ago. We have another meeting scheduled come Monday. And we've been tasked with trying to lay out the pathway and look at the logistics of trying to put these two agencies together. And so that's an ongoing project, and our meetings are open to the public if you're interested in attending to see what's going on. And we're basically tasked with coming up with a solid plan to then present to the two boards, the hospital board, the fire commission, and seeing what we need to do to make this actually happen. So that kind of concludes my portion, unless anybody has anything.
Let's hold the questions to the end.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Chief Kutzing. I did a better job that time. And Pam Hutchins, who's the district superintendent. Pam.
Good afternoon. Thanks, everybody, for coming. And this is kind of a treat for me because I'm at the front. I'm usually sitting over there on the side, so this is nice. A little bit about the hospital district. It came together in about the first part of 1990, so way back then is when the hospital district was formed. The purpose that it's supposed to serve is given in RCW 7044, and you can go to the website, and it has all the RCWs on there, but 7044 is the one that's all about hospital districts. And it was to authorize the establishment of public hospital districts to own and operate hospitals and other care facilities, and to provide hospital services and other healthcare services for the residents of such district and other persons. So it's a very broad scope. It can be facilities being nursing homes, extended care, long-term care, outpatient rehabilitative facilities, ambulances, that's why we're covering the emergency medical services here, facilities that promote health, wellness, and prevention of illness and injury, and other facilities that are appropriate to the health and wellness needs of the population served. So it's given a very broad mandate to cover that we can help with the district residents. The district itself is governed, when they set up our hospital district back in 1990, you had the choice of how many commissioners you wanted to start with. So we started with five. That's who they were elected. So we still have five today. And it's you can change the number, but it has to go before a vote to the people. You can have 3, 5, 7, and they've now included that you can have 10. But I wouldn't want 10. But some people thought that was a good idea, so that you can have 10 also. I was thinking back. I started with the hospital district back when Inter-Ida Medical Center was still open. I was the financial coordinator, and that was back in 2005. And since that time, I worked with the hospital board every meeting. I think I've been to just about every meeting that the board has had since 2005. And they... I was thinking about all the different commissioners since that time. I had the pleasure of serving with 17 different commissioners. So we're just in 2019, and I've had 17 people come and go. And it's really an honor, and it's such a opportunity for people of the district to come and run for commissioner. You can be all kinds of backgrounds. You know, there's been doctors, lawyers, bankers, business leaders of the district, just senior citizens, just and the public that have wanted to be on the board. And it's really important to have that varied interest because with the mandate of the hospital districts being so broad, you at any given time on the board can talk about a lot of different things. So it's good for your commissioners to have a well-versed history. And not, you know, just because it's a health-related organization, it doesn't mean that you need all health people to be on the board because you're representing the people of the district, the whole district. And so that's a good thing to remember. And this time we have four positions that will be elected in November. You have to file next week is filing week. All week long you can file. But there are four positions, and I've been talking with a lot of my colleagues around the state, and we are kind of the poster child right now for hospital district elections. There hasn't been a district that's had like four out of five seats up at one time. So they're looking at, you know, what we're doing, how we're trying to get people to run. And we have varied amounts of time. There's two positions that are only 2 years until you have to re-elect. There's one position for 4 years, and there's one position for 6 years. So there's a really varied opportunity for someone to serve. 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. And I really hope that with the publicity, there aren't a lot of people here today, but messages and the press releases went out. We sent them to everyone. We sent them to the political parties. We sent them to the service organizations. We put press releases in all the papers, all the blog papers, everywhere, just trying to get the word out that this is a great opportunity to serve your community with four positions being available. We also, with our hospital district, with the closing of Inter-Island Medical Center, we had the opening of Peace Island Medical Center back after Thanksgiving in 2012. And we pay a subsidy to them twice a year. Right now, it amounts to about $1,015,000 about every year. So most of our money in our one property tax levy goes to help with PIMC, and then the rest of the money stays in the district to do salaries and other things. We have been helping Planned Parenthood, the Coalition, the Community Paramedicine. Those are just a few of the things that our money has been doing the last couple of years. So it's a really varied amount of work that goes into it. We have, if you have not, most of the people here I think have, but we have a very good website. It's the San Juan County Public Hospital District website. It's sjcphd.org. And that also, we've gotten a lot of compliments from all around the state that our website is very interactive and it has a lot of information on it. And we're trying to put more information on it for the people that can log in. We have resolutions, we have contracts, we have budgets, we have meetings, like for the Citizens Advisory Group, we had a section on that so people could see what was going on there, where the meetings were. Right now we have the steering committee has started for that Cara was mentioning, so you can get information about that on our website. With the hiring of Nathan Butler, my assistant and the public records officer, he brings a really broad wealth of talent, and he's helped to make the website even bigger, and we can put more things on the website. And we just started, we just completed our first go at having our own Facebook page, so log in there and see. So I think we only have two or three likes so far, but
three
just
whole
went
likes.
Up, so.
Three.
How many dislikes?
No, we're not doing it. So, we're trying to look at the desire for the public and our residents to get as much information as they can of what our district is doing, what it's doing now, what it has done with the records on there, and what is coming in the future. So I really ask that you go and check out our website. It also announces when meetings are, and it'll give you all that information right there. If you have a special knowledge or desire to learn more about county government and how that works, the Municipal Research and Services Center, we call it MRSC for short, is a local government organization that you can log in there, and they have all kinds of information and resources that you can learn about, not just public hospital districts, but all county and state organizations and knowledge there if you like to check out what everyone else is doing. And then our Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts that we belong to, because we're a public hospital district, they have a wealth of information on their website also. If you log on to there, they have a resource tab up at the top, and you can click on that, and it has information that commissioners can use, people can look at. There's all kinds of resource information that you can learn more about things. And they also, if any of you are going to run for public hospital district commissioner, they are going to, on May 30th, from noon to 1:30, anybody that registers to run, they're doing a website and a class that it's an hour and a half long that introduces you to a lot of things that a hospital district commissioner would do and kind of gives you more information. So anyone that signs up, we will try to get you connected to that, and if you can't do it at that time, I can arrange to have it, and you can come to our district office and watch it. So, with what Carl talked about, with possibly EMS merging with fire, some people have said, oh, what's the public hospital district going to do? You're losing one of the main organizations under us, but I don't look at it like that. I look at it as a really great opportunity to take and use our resources to help something else. We have the long-term care problem, and there's homeless problems, there's suicide, there's all kinds of different health things that we can concentrate on. So if we're not overseeing EMS, we can be doing other things for our community, and I think it's a really exciting time, and why I hope people will run for hospital district commissioner, because we're just on this cusp of doing something different in our county, and it something that we can be proud of now and in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Pam.
So the protocol, Nathan, have you gotten any written questions?
So we set out little sheets in the back there. You could write down questions if you have them. A lot of the people that came have left, so probably we could do questions from the audience. But we have three questions we wanted to ask first that cover some broad issues that we expect that were questions we'd likely get. But first, did you guys want to introduce yourself, or should I launch right into the questions?
Sure. Start on the far left, Dr. Sweeney.
I think you just accomplished the task.
Well, what's your first name?
Mark.
And did I pronounce it okay for a change?
Brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I've been here for 5.5 years. And it's just speaking globally to the subject, I think there's value in altruistic community members stepping forward to serve a greater good. And there's work to be done here for the public hospital district, irrespective of the outcome of the integration of EMS and fire. So if there are people out there that care to serve, this would be a good venue for that. We need people that are good thinkers, that can serve without bias, without political pollution of any kind, that come in and will do a good job for the citizens with a focus on the taxpayers of this district and asking what's best for them. So there has to be some fiscal responsibility there, and just asking how can we do the best with the tax dollars we have, get the most most out of those tax dollars to the greatest benefit of the people. So utilitarianism in that respect. And it's not easy. But in any case, some introduction. Can I leave now?
I forgot your name. No, I didn't. Dr. Mark, thanks, Mark. Rebecca.
Thank you. Rebecca Smith. Pam and Mark put it very well in that if the, you know, even what, no matter the outcome of the fire EMS merger, there are so many things to do. And I think the biggest one is the continuation of some kind of a life care, a long-term care. We have the Inner Island Hospital Foundation is a 501(c) that has been set up to receive donations. We've started a feasibility study so that we can get information for that to get donations from other people. People need to know what it's about before they give donations. So we've already started that. I think the PhD could do a lot to further that cause and to help out. There's been some discussion about the PhDs, the three PhDs, Orcas Lopez and San Juan, perhaps combining like a regional PhD to do some kind of a management or administration of long-term care. That hasn't even, that's just been thrown out there as a main subject. It hasn't been looked at, so that's another big thing that could be checked into. There's just, I think that's one of the main goals right there. It's exciting. It is an exciting time.
Thank you, Rebecca. Dr. Appleton.
Warren Appleton. I've been on the board for a year and a half. I could repeat everything they said, but I'm not going to do that. The question that I heard the most out of people I talked to was, you know, how much policy can you really discuss and work with, as opposed to, you know, do the lines of the budget add up, which is a policy in and of itself. And there are things that we do along those lines. So long-term care, the hospital is doing its biannual. They're looking at their needs, so we get to have input there. And there's other issues that come up with the other islands and the other hospital districts that we discuss, how the outer islands are taken care of. It's going to be a big issue as to whether these public hospital districts are going to do something for the outer islands. Part of our district, we have some outer islands which don't get the same level of service that this island gets. And this island gets really good service, but there's a discrepancy, and there's a philosophical issue of how far out on islands can you go before you've gone out beyond EMS and da-da-da-da-da-da. So there's some philosophy that goes on. And it's fun to have those discussions. One of the better parts is that at any one time, only two of you can talk about it to each other unless you're actually in a meeting. That was supposedly a pun. That is one of the downsides, is it's hard to, you know, have a big discussion unless you do it one-to-one-to-one. There are ways of getting around it by sending it through PAM, and then it becomes public information. But there are certain rules that you have to follow. Some of us follow it better than others. I'm probably one of the others. But it is fun, too. And in the public, outside of these meetings, people come up and give you their philosophy about medicine and or where the public hospital district should be going, and it's interesting to interact with those folks. And it's always fun to be around EMS. I've been with EMS my whole career at one level or another, and it's just a fun group to be around. And it's just nice to know as a commissioner that you actually had something, or a little bit, to do with it, even though it pretty well runs itself. And we're really lucky to have Carl and that group, and a nice group to work with. But there is the question of moving over that EMS will move over, and that's a philosophical question that may or may not be decided by the time a new panel is sitting up here. We just don't know that. There's also some governance issues, questions that come up that are philosophical outside of medicine, outside of budgetary. The staff is very easy to work with. The parking at the staff office is poor, unless you park in front of the tailor, and then there's always parking over there. But if you want to write down my telephone number, I should have brought one of my cards along, but my telephone number, my cell phone number, is 425-736-7546. Again, in the 425, it's 736-7546. Be happy to discuss at any time except Saturday morning, because that's Mother's Day at our house, and Saturday evening, because that's the Sounders. Other than that, anytime between now and Monday, I'm a night hawk. Calling at night is not a problem. And if you develop a question, you want to ask something, or something you just don't want to ask in public, I think every commissioner would be willing to answer your questions. But I'd like to hear your questions. Dr. Edwards.
So I'm Michael Edwards, and I go back as far as Pam. I was actually initially appointed to the board in January of 2005, about a week and a half after Pam showed up. And we've been in the trenches ever since, and have proudly marched through a 7.5-year endeavor of putting Peace Island Medical Center together. We were both on the steering committee. I was co-chair of the steering committee. That's probably our proudest achievement, Pam. And so this is my 15th year. The reason I'm still sitting here is that the individual who was elected to start serving in 2016, time flies. After this individual was elected, but opposed no less, made the choice not to take the oath of office, which in the state of Washington means the incumbent, in other words, Dr. Edwards, was in the saddle until the next election, which is regular election, which is November of this year. So I'm still here. It's my 15th year. It's, you know, for the overall sense of it, it's been extremely rewarding. Warren says he's enamored with Salmon Island EMS. I'm in love with them. I think they're one of the best agencies in the nation, frankly, and they carry that reputation. Their witness cardiac survival rates is right up there with King County. And King County is one of the best in the nation. So you can't beat that. And they're just fun people to be around, have great food, thanks to Laney Volk. So, I mean, that helps out a bit too, a lot actually. And so that's one of my motivations to put up with this last 2 years. I mean, you have to have thick skin to do this. You make decisions, you make hard decisions. Some of the ramifications have psychosocial and political ramifications. And some people just get very unhappy with you. And they so talk about it. And then they, you know, submit letters to the editor, to the local newspapers, et cetera, et cetera. And so you have to, in your heart, feel you did the right thing for the right reasons. And pay attention to it, as Warren says, because there's always something there to learn. But not get your feelings hurt, because it'll happen over and over and over. And so some people can't take that. Pam mentioned 17 commissioners in Times Best. Some of those individuals I know, because I knew them well back then, I just said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to take this anymore. And they resign midstream. So that can happen. But if you do your homework and know what you get yourself into, and get a mentor. I had a nurse, Robin Van Heining, who the first night when I was sworn in said, sit down next to me, I'll show you the ropes. And by the way, it's going to take you 2 years to feel at all comfortable doing this job. And she was right. So the same thing is going to be harder to come by here, because potentially there'll be four new people. Not that, you know, I announced tonight that I'm not going to run. The other folks, who knows? And so, but four slots will be up for election. We know that for sure. And so there's not going to be a lot of continuity of care, as we say in medicine. but the one remaining commissioner who serves as our secretary, Anna Lisa Lindstrom, you know, she's pays attention and she'll be a good mentor, maybe for a flock of four, who knows. So I've ruined your questions, haven't I?
No, but I'd like to add one thing. Annalisa isn't here. She should probably be the one person here because she's going to be the one person left that's continuing. So I'm sure she doesn't mind me suggesting that if you have questions, call her, you know, or email her. Her information's on the website. So, give her a call, ask questions.
Yeah, and you can we can help get you in contact with any of the commissioners. So each of you addressed somewhat projects and goals you were interested in. So perhaps let's combine two of these questions. One is words of advice you might have for a new commissioner or someone considering being one. And then maybe some of, if you didn't already address this, projects and goals you think will matter coming up and projects that we're involved in right now, if you didn't already address that.
So I'll go in reverse order this time, so I go first. A couple things that haven't been mentioned here is that one, in our latest submission here made a month or so ago to Peace Island Medical Center, one of the things that we wanted in the context of additional services is a local helipad, in other words, one stage right outside the door of the ED. There is a small special committee headed by Dr. Schwinge, who is studying that and hopefully looking forward in concert with Peace Health and the Port of Friday Harbor and the Fire District 3. So that's a work in progress. The other thing is that we are involved. Matter of fact, we advocated a program that was originated by Dr. Lauren Johnson, but because of personal matters was actually orchestrated at the 11th hour by Dr. Appleton. And that was to educate the community how to react and to process air medical transport denials at the hands of Kaiser Permanente. And since September of last year, the numbers of those experienced by not only Islander Ambulance and Airlift Northwest has shot up dramatically. It's got to be a driving reason for that. We don't know what that is. But the bottom line is that it's scary. Initially, you have a 60-day window to submit your first request to reverse the decision. And if you miss that, then you're in deep troubles. Anyhow, the Department of Health, County Department of Health, Board of Health, at least PhD number one, ourselves, and hopefully in the future PhD two and three, Orcas and Lopez, will get into the battle, but we're pushing. And initially it started off with a program hosted by Dr. Appleton here, what, a week and a half ago or so, 2 weeks ago now today, I think, which got great traction. I think the attendance was 60 people plus. There's a lot of angst in the community, so we're addressing that as a PhD. And who knows in the future? I mean, there are a lot of things that we throw our support, financial support at, Prevention Coalition for drug abuse for teenagers particularly, Planned Parenthood was mentioned, community paramedicine, and again, San Juan Island AMS is a shining star in that regard, not just here in the county, but actually in the whole western region of the state of Washington. So we have our fingers into a lot of things. There's no excuse for getting bored. There's plenty of excuses for getting frustrated because it's very complicated. You got to know that. You got to be willing to throw a lot of time and effort into it and do your best. And confer with the likes of Pam and Nathan. They're just shining stars in terms of information and procedurally particularly. And since I still stumble on Robert's rules, another thing that you have to address. This guy keeps me straight, and I appreciate that. Okay, I went first. Warren, we'll do a back.
What was the second question?
Advice for a new commissioner or someone considering being one.
Keep your ears open. Keep your mind open. Make sure your hearing's good, because everyone out there in the audience talks very softly and can't hear what they're saying most of the time. And the first question was?
Projects and goals.
Yeah. Some of the projects, the committee I sit on is a communications committee. The different nonprofits and governmental agencies working on different aspects of healthcare, all the way to the point of housing, which is a, the statistics of if you have a house and how healthy you are, those are genetically matched up. But then Peace Health has an issue of actually housing employees because it's not cheap to live around here, and they don't want to set a precedent of making these wages so high that they have to deal with the same issue on the mainland. So that comes up, and that's an issue that you may get involved in with this board, or you may get involved in as an individual. So it's not just the amount of that you hear about going on in the community. If you're really community active, you might get involved in something else along with the board, which I think is sort of a benefit of the job. People come to you asking you questions about different issues in healthcare, and I take healthcare all the way from education in schools to hospice and death and dying. And I see it as a big issue, a broad issue, and how you mix that together with your time and how you mix that together with the budget that you have here in front of you to work with and how you try to help other people and form partnerships. A big part of this is forming partnerships, not just with this group, but other groups around. And when you have those partnerships, think about disaster management. And the number of partnerships and communication that you have to have. And you don't get to practice that too often, but it's being able to trust each other, being able to trust the county that they're going to do what they're going to do, trust Marine that they're going to do, Coast Guard that they're going to do it. So you develop a pretty big repertoire just through your committees and interesting questions, questions that I wouldn't have thought of or may not have thought of. So how do you develop? That was, I think, sort of a little bit off tangential. But I'm tangential at the moment. I'm trying not to repeat what other people have already said. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Rebecca.
There's a lot of study time ahead of meetings to know what you're doing and meetings and information that you get that you have to look at and discussions with other commissioners and or the supervisor and Nathan. So that would be something worthwhile mentioning. I think knowing, realizing it's a nonpartisan job, which means that whatever your views are really don't matter. Your views as on the board should be what's best for the community. So I think that's a real key. Sometimes you have to put aside what you believe in or what you disbelieve in or whatever, just to look at the community as a whole and say, this is best for the community. I think, Mark, you mentioned that, just looking at it from a community standpoint. And I think we won't take more time, so I'll pass this on to Mark.
To the question of the character of the commissioner, integrity should be number one. It's something that you bring with you. It's something who you are when nobody's watching is a common definition. So integrity is key, and independence of thought. Be able to look at subjects and issues and analyze them for yourself and then vote for yourself, even though you're standing alone. To have your mind well composed, insights on the facts, and just processing them carefully for yourself. Those would be important attributes, I suggest, for any commissioner. As to the list of goals and opportunities for the PhD, that also has been articulated here. I would emphasize that there's just so much in a budget pie, so many dollars to go around, and they have to be apportioned very thoughtfully to the, once again, the greatest benefit to the greatest number in the community. And when we fail to do that, we end up disserving the electorate.
Thank you, Mark.
So the last question I'll ask, what was your most significant achievement as a commissioner that you feel is your most significant achievement, or what was your most memorable experience as a commissioner? memorable or worthwhile?
Oh, I think it's time to let the audience ask the question after that question.
I think we've covered that. That question, does the board feel that way as well?
Yeah, the risk of self-aggrandizement is...
One of us has done some of that too much already, right, Mark?
So. I apologize.
We'd love to hear from the audience. And, you know, to me, we wanted to start there first, but there were no questions submitted. So even though I probably don't see too many real candidates out there, a couple of questions that pertain to what it is like to be a commissioner and the duties, responsibilities, and limitations thereof, welcome to submit those questions. Yes.
The time commitment. Can you give me some kind of a handle of what that is? Because there are, you know, there are fish to be caught, and there are, you know, things like that. How much is the time commitment for such a job like this?
Well, it depends. You know, I'm chair and have been for, this will be my fourth year. Before that, I was Secretary of Financial Overseer for 8 years plus. So both of those positions carry a lot more responsibility and demand a lot more time. And Nathan can probably count up the hours I spent on the phone, on the computer, nose to nose with him, even when I'm down in San Diego, where my wife lives, by the way. It's just huge. It's huge. And you have to see that in light of what you get paid, per meeting, which is, I'm kidding. It's $128, so that doesn't factor in. But for the chair, if you do it right, it's huge. How many hours? 20 hours a week at least, night and day. And to be, a non-officer, so to speak, on the board takes a lot of time too. Particularly in the few years, which I alluded to. You have to get a handle on the RCWs. And I'm still getting a handle on those dang things, my 15th year. So, the ramp-up time, the first 2 years, would be really significant. 10, 12 hours a week minimum. And it depends on your previous experience, too. Some of the stuff is like, you jump back on the bicycle and going for a ride again. Well, it's a bit different. But some folks, just don't have that corporate experience or the medical experience or whatever. So, the learning curve is going to be steeper for those folks. Anything to add to the board? Mark?
It can easily suck up all the time one wants to pour in. It's kind of a black hole in that sense. It can take a lot of time to do the job sufficiently. There's prep before the meeting, many hours. But there's just ongoing tasks throughout the month. There's an email obligation. You have to stay up on email. If there are committees involvement there, then additional time involved. But it's a question of, I think, value. So how do we want to spend our lives? And how do we want to spend our days and hours? And once we get that settled, we decide there's value to the community, then giving the time is again, a component of altruism. There's a greater good in it than just a question of our own personal interest. Balance is important. Finding where the line is going to be different for everybody.
That's what I'm trying to get a handle on, the balance.
It's difficult.
It's up and down.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not steady state either. Sometimes it's like, I have to stay up here. Just this year was 4.5 month hiatus. I couldn't go down south. It was just one meeting, one obligation after another. You either do the job that you signed up for, or you shouldn't be doing it. And that wasn't pleasant, frankly. When I'm up here, I live the life of a bachelor. I'm a terrible cook. I lose weight. And I get lonely. My wife lives in San Diego. So, that's a personal hiccup in the whole thing. But when you sign up for it, you have to be serious. And from the heart, as Mark mentioned, and in the name of what's doing the best for the community, you got to start with that, and live up to it, not bend the rules, so to speak. Warren, you going to say something, sir?
I was going to say it varies a lot. It does. Some monthly meetings, they're pretty A lot of it is pretty well formulated in front of you. There's not a lot of policy. You're listening to people give reports. You've read the reports, but really they're going to give it to you anyway, and you're going to ask questions at that point. Then there's some other bigger issues that take a lot more time, and if you want to do that, if you want to get involved in other committees outside of these, and you feel that community involvement that this leads you to, then it can take a lot of time. But, you know, there's meetings that I've done 3 hours of study for. There's other meetings that I've done 2 or 3 days of study for, but I was very interested in what I was studying, and I like to study. And, you know, in that time, your daily time on this thing goes way down, which is not a bad thing. You're actually studying for a purpose. So it's just not the amount of time, but it's the quality of the time. And the quality you get out of the time you spend is important to me. And so if I feel that there's a real issue in front of me that I really want to delve into and discuss and digest, then I'm more than happy to give it that time. But there's other times that, especially during budget, those things get pushed aside a bit and you're just doing numbers and numbers and budget and back and forth, and you know, you're getting preliminary budgets or contract negotiations, just sort of tracking these things. That doesn't take a lot of time to study, you're just getting information. You get a lot of it here, and the staff is really good at sending you emails and keeping you up to date. Really good about that. And calls, you know, hey, can we just ask you a question? It gets a little frustrating at times if you all of a sudden have to start scheduling a bunch of meetings that are required to be scheduled 24 hours in advance. And that's it's ad hoc and it's rare, but it can impinge on your schedule a bit, your other schedule of fishing and sailing and playing croquet and standing in a garage and listening to 50s at 5, you know, whatever you do. But it's never been that I didn't want to study the questions that I was asked to look at by the community. And so, minimum of 2 or 3 hours a week. Sometimes you might do 10 or 12, but if it's a hot issue that you're really interested in anyway, then it's worth it.
Is there a question, Bill?
I hear your comment about joining committees outside of this organization. I've also heard reference to committees. What are the ex officio committees that are here? In other words, how many committees? And you also, you know, mentioned email obligations. I know it varies, but amplify those a bit if you would.
Yeah, sometimes email traffic is significant, and we have an obligation to respond in a timely way. So there's that. It's quite variable again. Not necessarily cyclical, just variable. So it's something to reckon right up front. In terms of the standing committees, there's the Health Ed Study Group for one. We have a delegate here with Rebecca who's involved in the steering committee for the EMS Fire Integration Study Group. We also have the CCC. What else do we have going on? CHNA's is peripheral.
Well, Rebecca and I also participate in the Environmental Healthcare Foundation, so we're indirectly, intrinsically involved in long-term care for the infirm and elderly and that sort of thing. We have a subcommittee with regards to potential of a helipad on campus at Peace Island Medical Center. You're involved with that. Sometimes the board will just say, okay, take a look at it. Rebecca Smith, take a look at this. Not necessarily a committee per se, but investigate a report back to the board. So we have that sort of thing too. So.
And we go to meet, like we go to the Board of Health meetings.
Right.
When it's got something on it that we want to see, or the fire commissioner meetings. So there are other outside meetings that we end up going to.
Right.
Input.
2 a month, 3 a month?
Meetings.
It's hard to average it, but I'm just trying
to guess. It is hard to average, but I'd say, well, EMS fire merger is going to be once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weekly.
And CCC is every other month.
But
and nearest depends.
Fire 3 is, what, once a month, isn't it?
And the commissioners.
And, when, and Rebecca and I were at the Board of Commissioners meeting with Fire 3 just today, before this meeting.
But these are positions that you're expected as part of.
No, not at all. We go as interested parties, you know.
To learn.
Not necessarily wearing an official hat, but that said, we come back and report interesting things or telling things to the board and to the superintendent and to Nathan. So, because it's all part of knowing what's going on in your environment, you know.
Also, annually, there's a meeting of public hospital districts. And you can go and learn, and, you know, that going and coming takes time, as we all have figured out on this island, and being there takes time, but then, but you also are talking to other people that are having similar interests and different views and maybe doing different things that, you know, you could bring home. So the time issue you have to be able to work with, and just, you can settle it to yourself and what you feel comfortable with. But at the minimum, 12 hours a month, 3 hours a week. But it's not all just sitting there. I mean, you know, you...
Yeah,
I would think.
Could we ask one of you two to just send us a list of committee names and which are ex officio and which are standing committees, so to speak?
If you want to talk to me afterwards, I can get your email address and we can do that.
Well, it's a matter of public record. The phone numbers are a bit different, but...
We don't have one log about that, though. They're made, assignments are usually made in board meetings.
Yeah, I'm not asking for explanations, just a list of how many there literally are, and one would assume two or three people would be on each of those.
Never more than two, just because of OBMA requirements.
Well, you could basically recapitulate what's been already shared today and put it in writing, Gary. I don't see any problem
with
that.
It floats. Like right now we have, I think, three committees that we have ongoing, but one of them is brand new, but it, another one it replaced last month. So last month or the month before, it was continuing education committee. That got replaced. You know, I mean, so it changes. It's constantly floating.
Yeah, it's a dynamic.
The same whole year than the same?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's a key, I think that would be a key for people is you got to be flexible. I mean, your time has to be flexible, and that's sometimes tough.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to say something, sir?
Well, I was just going to say that at this point in time, we meet countywide. EMS has a council that meets countywide, and then that same group meets at a regional level. And there is a spot for an elected official, and this particular go-around, Commissioner Smith has filled that spot.
I forgot about it. That's two more meetings quarter.
Yeah, an elected official for the county trauma council and then the regional trauma council. But again, those are all voluntary and not required as part of being a member of the hospital board.
Right.
You can also.
Nor does the board assign those individuals. You know.
I'm sorry.
The board does not assign those individuals to attend. They take that on their own. Rebecca did and ran for that position and was retained. So good for you, Rebecca. Okay.
You can also look at the agendas for our monthly meetings. Right now we meet on the fourth Wednesday of the month. And when the agenda comes out, usually there is a spot for committee meeting reports. So if you look at those, you can tell which meetings are happening.
So one last question, Gary. I think you have to jump on that. You have a question?
Regarding formation after the election, it would seem that Annalisa will be the glue. Is she expecting that, or?
Well, that's assuming, first of all, primarily, because there's a continuity of care there that I mentioned earlier. But that's not to say, you know, once 2020 starts, somebody could call me up, say, hey, what do you think about this and that? I've been around the horn a long time. I would share my take on it. And for years, as long as I'm around, why not? I mean, that's all part of serving the community. You don't have to be a commissioner per se. You could be like, what do they call it? The old geezers that they put out the pasture.
They call them old geezers.
Old geezers.
At large.
At large. That's
emeritus.
Right.
Yeah, emeritus. Okay, Bill hit it.
No, I like the emeritus.
You're trying to. You
and
probably have my number.
Nathan and Pam are probably the glue for the PhD. Because they're the ones who go to.
That we go to.
Luckily, we have Pam.
A lot of history there. There's one other thing I would like to mention as a qualification that I think as commissioners should be good listeners.
Okay. Thank you, Mark, Rebecca, Warren. I think.
Audience.
Carl.
We've covered the bases, and we appreciate you folks coming here. And I understand there's a little bit of food left over, so you might grab a few goodies on your way out. So.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.